Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four, and we've got a new guest in the house from our good friends over at ForTheBloggy.com. That's ForTheBloggy.com. Writer Nate Wilmot. Welcome to the show, Nate.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, first of all, Nate, you take an analytical look at the Penn State team, right? Give our listeners just a quick overview of what that means.
Sure. So for me, what that means is looking at a variety of data, a variety of stats, kind of understanding how Penn State fits within the conference, how they fit within the nation on those stats, how they are trending year over year, week over week, and trying to look for insights in terms of what stats are deciding what wins games, what loses games, things like this. So really trying to take a much more data-driven approach to how we analyze the team.
And it's some really great stuff. And what prompted this, Nate, was a week or so ago, you came out with an analytical look at the team's offense. And as you say in the article, we could all see that the offense was pretty bad this past year, but your dive into the analytics could show how and why it was so bad. So I'm just going to start with that, Nate. How and why was this offense so poor?
So how, I mean, look, what it comes down to for me, first and foremost, is the team needs to score points, right? And that is the one place where they had the biggest, a very big gap year over year from 2020 to 2021. So against FBS opponents, I tend to throw out, for what it's worth, a lot of the FCS games. So Villanova, you know, which happened to be kind of close, or Idaho, which was not close, shouldn't count in the overall stats. But against FBS opponents this year, Penn State scored 24 points. That was 89th in the country, down surprisingly from 29.8 last year, which was 52nd. And it's continuing this downward trend from basically the time Joe Moorhead left through now in terms of points per game sliding. When it comes to the why, I mean, there's a few things we could talk about. It's a lack of a running game, a lack of ball control, which is kind of dictated by the running game. Low explosivity. That the team, as I highlighted in a different article, did not have many big plays, again, especially in the run game. And then they've continued this relatively poor trend over the past couple of years of being below average in red zone scoring. So all these things add up to just scoring fewer points year over year. And that, you know, we kind of wasted an incredible effort by the defense by having the offense that was just a little bit underperforming in scoring points.
Well, it's fascinating that 2020 was the 1 year Kirk Ciarca was here. 1 year in, that was it. He was let go by Coach Franklin. Obviously, the offense was not up to snuff. And then we find out with the guru Mike Yurcich coming in, things got even worse. You mentioned the running game as part of it. And I adhere to the saying, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. But this is a situation where the statistics aren't lying about how bad this running game was.
I would tend to agree with that. I mean, this year, so again, putting it in context, right, of how Penn State's been recently, 2018, they ran for 216 yards a game, 2019, 190, 2020, 175, this year, 107, right? And this is including all games now, including the Villanova game. So you might say, okay, well, maybe they chose to run or chose to pass more, and that's why the running production was lower. Which is kind of true, right? And we'll talk about that. They had a very high pass percentage, but also for every run that they had, they're only generating 3.1 yards per rush versus 3.6 under Ciarca, and then, you know, over 4.5 yards under Ricky Ronnie and Joe Moorhead. So, like, it's not just that they chose to pass more, which they did, and likely out of necessity. But they just weren't generating any big plays and any long runs either. And that kind of likely that combined with a little bit worse explosivity in the passing game, they passed for slightly more yards than last year, but they didn't have a lot of big pass plays. So it kind of contained them, right? Allowed defenses to to focus on the short and intermediate pass game and take that away. And ultimately, you know, overall production in terms of yards per game was also down at 366 versus 430 last year.
Now, in the college game, it's weird that they count sacks as loss of yards in the rushing game. How much effect did that have on Penn State's running statistics?
All right, so yeah, I mean, in terms of sack-adjusted rush yards, so I did an article in early December about this, or late November, and it changes a little bit, right? We go from 3.1 yards per rush to 3.9 yards per rush if we add back all the sack yards and then take out the number of sacks. But still, if you do that for the previous seasons under Shiraka, they were at 4.6 sack-adjusted. Ricky Ronnie and 2017 under Joe Moorhead over 5. So it affected it, but not maybe as dramatically as you think. And actually, one of the other stats that I track is havoc avoidance. So havoc avoidance is the share of plays where an offense gives up a sack, a tackle for a loss, or a turnover. And they did not do a bad job of giving up havoc plays. They were very similar to years past. Basically, going back to 2016, Penn State has always been right around FBS average. So this didn't get worse. Truly, the production of the running backs, frankly, is what was worse this year.
So what you're saying is where sometimes you could make some other investigate a little further, you might find out, oh, there were so many sacks that skewed the numbers. But the fact is, if I remember correctly, you said even taking out the sacks, they still only averaged 3.9 yards per rush. No matter how you analyze it, that's just bad.
Yeah, yep. So that's exactly what it is, right? And that is considerably worse than they've had in years past, as I mentioned. I mean, so 3.9, right? And just to compare, in 2018, without taking – and this is when Miles Sanders was there, still Trace McSorley – without adjusting for sacks, they averaged 5.1 yards per rush. So still beating that by a yard, you know, 1.2 yards, even without sack adjusting. So it was a definite decline this year.
Those are crazy numbers. And in reading your article, I learned something else, that this decline in the offense, it's interesting to see, and you have it in the charts in the article. And by the way, on our podcast, I'll put a link out to the article. From, what is it, 2017 forward, the offensive numbers have been going downhill every year.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yeah. I mean, and again, coming back to scoring, 2017 was the high mark. The team against FBS averaged over 40 points a game, 41.1. Kind of low 30s under Ricky Ronnie, 29, as I mentioned, under Soraka last year, and then the 23.9 this year. Yards per play, which is a very good indicator of kind of how effective an offense is, right? And this is yards divided by total plays independent of pass or rush. 2017, 6.6, and now a steady, slow and steady decline down to 5.3. So, you know, and below average. So they were far above average, top 20 in the country in 2017, and now they're, you know, approaching the 80s or lower. So they have to get this turned around. I mean, they are wasting, you know, excellent effort on the defensive side because of the lack of production on offense. So we have to get this figured out.
So in watching the team play, in fact, James Franklin would even say this, sometimes that short passing game was used as a replacement for the running game, which makes you think, okay, they're going to pass the ball a lot more than they run the ball. And was this out of necessity for Mike Yurcich? But you look back at his history, this run-pass ratio is about standard for his offenses, correct?
It is, yeah. So this year, on a per-game average, they had 53% passing, 47% rushing. For him, that is exactly right where, you know, he's been maybe a smidge on the high side, but he does tend to be very balanced or slightly favor passing. You know, and if you compare this to 2018, 2019 under Ricky Ronnie, he was at 41% pass plays, 41% pass, 59% rush. So, you know, skewed well further in the opposite direction, right? But still managed to generate over 400 yards per game in 2018 and 390 in 2019. So, you know, 25 to 40 yards per game more than Yurcich. So I really think, you know, this is the type of offense that Yurcich wants to run, which is very balanced, but maybe even slightly pass heavy. But still, in his previous stops too, they've had a strong run game. They just did not get that this year.
Obviously not. But there's also beyond just the straight passing yards per play, rushing yards per play. When you get an opportunity to score, let's score. In other words, red zone offense. So you can make up for some of those other things if you're efficient in the red zone when you get there. This team wasn't very good at that either, though, was it?
No. So the FBS average for points per red zone attempt is about 4.8, 4.9 in a given year. It flips between 4.8 and 4.9. So that means, you know, a team is basically scoring either a touchdown or a field goal on average. 2017, as a comparison, Penn State scored 5.8 points per red zone attempt. You know, that's scoring nearly every time and scoring touchdowns far more often than not. 2021, now the team scored 4.2, which was towards the bottom of FBS. Now you're looking at something in the 90s out of 113. In 2020, so under Soraka, they were still fairly bad. They scored 4.3 points per red zone attempt. But an interesting aspect of that, too, so you have to be efficient when you get there, like you said, but you have to get there. So in 2021, they averaged 4.1 red zone attempts per game. In 2020, they averaged 4.1 red zone attempts per game. In 2021, that number dropped down to 3.3. So you're basically leaving, you know, 4.5 or 5 points nearly on the board. Just by not getting into the red zone as often. Couple that with them not scoring outside of the red zone very much as well. So they weren't particularly explosive in scoring outside of the red zone. And that's the recipe for, you know, this 23.9 points per game that was that, you know, anywhere between 5 and 18 away from how the team was between 2017 and 2020.
Is there anything that you look at from the analytics point of view that you could point out and say, you know what, and this is where I could see them getting better in the future, or what they need to focus on in the last 20 seconds that we have?
So I think there's a couple of things. The biggest one for me is this year, they ranked 113th in ball control. So ball control, there's more that could go into it, but if you just measure it in terms of time of possession, they ranked 113th, holding the ball for under 28 minutes per game. Last year in 2020, that was 33.4. And, you know, what does that do? Does that inherently make you better? No, but it does allow the defense to rest a little bit more. It indicates that you are likely rushing the ball better, right? So if we see an increase or an uptick in time of possession next year, they're either completing more passes, driving longer, taking more longer drives, or rushing the ball better. So I think that is going to be one of the leading indicators that's going to show that the offense is improving.
Very good. That is going to have to be it, Nate, for our show. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all for listening. Be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.